Okay, so like this morning, like just now, like a few hours ago, it was revealed that not one but two planets have been discovered circling a sun called Kepler-20, and they're very, very similar to Earth, apparently. This was just revealed on the Nature Online Journal a few hours ago. ABC Science News editor Darren Osborne joins us for our weekly look at science. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Wally.
Is this is there life out there? Does this mean that all those alien sci-fi films are true?
Well, you keep adding up, like just about every week now, we're starting to get another planet find. I think 2 weeks ago, we're all trumpeting about Kepler-22b, which is about twice the size, or about 1.5 times the size of the Earth.
Oh, people won't stop talking about Kepler-22b.
It was the dinner party conversation last
Absolutely.
Night, that was for sure. Now we're moving on to Kepler-20e and Kepler-20f. Now, I mean, this is not surprising that we're finding more and more, and I suppose the more planets we find, and the more planets we find that are similar to Earth, both in size and in distance from their sun, the more likely we are to find life. In fact, there's an equation called the Drake equation that was invented many decades ago, which, the answer is, what is the probability of life like us out there in the universe? And some of the factors include Earth-like planets and sun-like stars. So this is all feeding into that. And, this discovery that was announced this morning, it's a snowball effect. We're hearing more and more of them, and we're going to hear more and more in the future.
So does that mean Earth-like planets, does that mean water? Or what exactly does it mean when you say something's like Earth?
Yeah, I think the definition at the moment for an Earth-like planet is a planet that is roughly the same size or mass as the Earth. So we have a range of roughly three different classes of planets. We have the Earth-like planets, so planets that are like Earth, Venus, Mars, those sort of smallish rocky ones that are a couple of thousand kilometres across. We then get to the more Neptune-sized ones that will be tens of thousands of kilometres across, more likely to be gas planets. And then we get the Jupiter-sized ones, the really big behemoths that are up to maybe 100,000 kilometers plus across, more than likely going to be a gas planet. So over the last about 3 years ago, NASA launched a spacecraft called Kepler, and it's a big telescope that's about a million kilometers away from the Earth, and it's looking at this one tiny region of the Milky Way, and it's been looking at stars to detect any wobbles in the stars. Now, those in the light, I should say, that's coming from those stars. And that change in light is most likely caused by a planet going in front of the star. Now, so far, just in the last 2 years, it's found almost 2,500 candidates. That is, stars that are showing dips in their light level that suggest a planet is orbiting around them. And as I said, we're going to hear more and more of this. Last 2 weeks ago, we heard about Kepler-22b. There are other ones called Galileo 581D, HD 85512B. It sounds like a Star Trek sort of
Yeah, no, I'm just
call,
noting all those down. Yeah.
But the thing about these two that were found this morning is that they are very, very close to their star. In fact, one of them orbits, it does a year, it orbits a star in 19.5 days, the other one in just 6.1.
Wow.
That's a heck of a lot shorter than the 365.24
Yeah, I wonder how that makes me.
So, yeah, you and I would be racking up the years. So, it means that water on them is highly unlikely.
Right.
We're not likely to find water on these particular. And also, it's around about 3,500 light years from Earth. So, it's going to take a long time to have a holiday over there.
Right. Just a few seconds before we head into the news, but quickly, your reaction to the news that no one wants to do science at school anymore?
Yeah, look, it's a depressing thing. I mean, I trained as a science teacher about two decades ago and spent a few years in the classroom. And if you speak to teachers, they will say that at the primary school level, kids love it. They can't get enough of it. And you go to places like Questacon or the Powerhouse or other museums, you can see that enthusiasm. Something's going wrong in the secondary system. Now, we shouldn't blame the teachers, but that enthusiasm is dying. And it could be that there are other things they're being distracted by.
Sure.
It could be we're just not making it exciting enough.
I blame the equations. Get rid of the equations and you'll be fine. Thanks very much, Darren.
Algebra.
We'll speak to you next week.